So we have great good news today. Jesus says, you are no longer servants. I call you my friends. You did not choose me, but I chose you. I came to lay my life down for you. So love others the way I have loved you. Wow, there it is. Gospel. Good news in its purest form. So, how many ways are there to wreck that? Oh, a lot of them. Here's where it starts. It can get confusing for us around two words. Those words are if and command. When we hear the word if, we assume it means if you do A, then you get B. If you go to work all week, then you get paid. Okay? If I plant lettuce in my garden, I will grow lettuce, in theory. Okay? So when we hear Jesus say, if you keep my commands, you are my friends, it suddenly sounds very conditional, doesn't it? It sounds like something we achieve, a condition that we have to meet. But that's not it at all. I remember the New Testament was written in Greek. It was the common written language of the time. And some of Greek does not translate real well into English. Okay? So the word that gets translated as if is actually more of a description of what naturally flows out of things. Okay? So its connotation is usually like this. If you go outside when it's raining, you will get wet. Now we want to say, duh. Okay? That's the sense this word carries in Greek, that it's an obvious thing. If you do this, then that happens. Okay? We don't achieve getting wet by going outside in the rain. So for our modern ears, it might be more helpful to, instead of use the word if, it might be better if we use the word when. When you keep my commandments, you are my friends. You live in me when you keep my commandments. So it's not conditional. Rather, it's more descriptive of what it means to follow Jesus. Then the other word that gets confusing is commandment. So what is a command? Well, here's some I use at home with my dogs. Here. Sit. Down. Go home. Is that what Jesus wants from us? Obedience? No. Instead, Jesus has one command, just one, that we love. You're no longer servants. You are my friends. You did not choose me. I chose you. Love others the way I have loved you. Now think about the difference between servants and friends. Servants respond to commands. Friends respond out of love. Jesus said, I chose you, you did not choose me, so you are my friends. And we respond out of love. So that means that Jesus does not want us to make sacrifices and offerings to him. He calls us to give offerings and sacrifices for the sake of loving others. He said, love others the way I have loved you. So could it really be that simple? Well, yes, it is. But we get stuck because we spend most of our lives living in this world out there that is all about conditions and rules. So that becomes the lens through which we see everything else. It's our default setting. It's what we expect. So if everything else is about laws and rules, it's natural that we will assume that Jesus is also about laws and rules too. And then there's that deadly combination of fear and pride. Fear that we might not be good enough, or maybe Jesus didn't really mean it. And our pride that says, I want to rely on myself. I can be good enough. I can get the right answer. I can believe enough. I can choose Jesus as my Savior. Because, of course, we can do that, right? I don't need him to choose me. Now, we have a term for this. That term is law. Don't do this. Do that. In order to avoid punishment. Now, part of us likes law because it appeals to our pride, because we want to believe we can do it, that we can be good enough. But the cost of that thinking is that it means we are choosing to be servants, not friends. we're choosing obedience over love. You know, how often have you heard people say that being a Christian means following the Ten Commandments and believing in a specific set of beliefs? It's amazing how quickly we want to run away from gospel and move into law. That's appealing because that's all external stuff. See, it's easy to go through the motions on the outside without any change inside of us. We can do all the right things without it ever changing our hearts. That's the difference between servants and friends, the difference between fear and trust. Whether we are afraid God is waiting to punish us for not believing all the right things or not following all the rules, or trusting God to love us no matter what. So would you rather be a servant or a friend? See, friends don't live by threats and fear. That's not love. That's hostage-taking. Friends live by love, mutual respect, caring for each other, sacrificing for each other. We know what this is like. A number of years ago, my good friend Al was very, very sick. He had stage 3 large cell lymphoma, and he called and told me what's going on. I dropped everything. I went there. He needed me. It's what we do, right? It's just what we do. But you see, friendship, for many of us, it's such a normal thing that it's like wallpaper we don't even notice. Have you seen the TV show Big Bang Theory? That character in there, Sheldon Cooper, right? This guy, he's a theoretical physicist. He has virtually no social skills at all, okay? And everything for him is very black and white and very legalistic. So among other things, he has what he calls the roommate agreement. It's about a 40 or 50 page document. He had his roommate sign with all these conditions, including at what time in the morning you can use the bathroom, okay? He also had a 40 or 50 page boyfriend-girlfriend agreement for his girlfriend, because being the geek he is, he doesn't want to touch anybody. So there's conditions in there about under what rare conditions they can hold hands, okay? Now, the reason that's funny is that's not how we do it, right? It's funny because nobody does friendship like that. In friendship, we usually make it up as we go. And it's defined by love and sacrifice for each other, not by a bunch of rules. For no other reason than we love our friends. So, just in case we want rules and laws, commands, Jesus gives us one. Love one another the way I have loved you. So part of us says, oh good, there it is, the rules, the commandment. Now I know what to do. Oh wait. This is a commandment that's never done. It changes all the time. I can never completely fulfill it. Yep, that's what love is. Jesus said, no love is greater than this, than to lay down your life for your friends. Now notice Jesus did not say, greater love has no one than this, than to follow all the rules or go through all the motions and look religious. He didn't say we should go out and try to force our particular understanding of Christianity on others or sit in judgment of those who disagree. No, Jesus said, love them the way I have loved you. We can go through all the motions without our hearts ever being in it. But that doesn't love anybody, and it doesn't change our hearts. See, I like to think that Jesus is intentionally vague about this commandment. If it was specific and concrete, we might be tempted to turn it into a checklist. Okay, love my neighbor 3 times today. Now I'm done with the religion part. Okay. Imagine saying that to somebody who you love very much. Well, I've loved you enough today, honey. Rest of the day probably isn't going to be very happy, is it? Yeah. I'm done. Yeah. Yes, you are. No, love is open-ended. Love the way I've loved you. Don't worry about doing it the right way. There's no wrong way to love others. But God's given us passions to do that. So some of us feed the hungry. Some of us listen to the lonely and the frightened, the forgotten. Some of us work for justice. Some of us work for peace. Some of us build houses. We're all called to forgive. to work toward reconciliation when possible, because that's what friends do. I don't call you servants, Jesus said. I call you friends. So love one another the way I have loved you.